Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to you wherever you are throughout Grenada, Caracou, Piedmont, and the rest of the Eastern Caribbean. I am Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you once again. This is a program of Inside Finance, and today with me in the studio will be the Honourable Minister Oliver Joseph, Minister of Economic Development within the Ministry of Finance. It's always a joy to have him. It's not the first time on this program, and so I look forward in talking with him. I have many questions to ask him. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back and begin my discussion here today with Minister Oliver Joseph.
It's going to be an educational health fair where health professionals will be giving lectures on topics such as hypertension, diabetes, healthy living, lifestyle, diet, exercise, and yoga, sexual health separated into two groups, adults and young adults, alcoholic smoking, cigarettes, etc. May 23rd, 2015. There will also be a fruit and vegetable stall with items on sale. Time 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Springs, Plainfield. Don't miss it.
St. George's Baptist Church. Purpose: the channel God chooses to fulfill the needs of humanity. Vision: building communities which become the model for winning people to Christ. Mission: goal: empowering people to enjoy prosperity and fulfillment in life. These are the purpose, vision, and mission of the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Inside Finance. Welcome to the program, Minister Oliver Joseph.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, it's good to have you. I know there's a lot happening. How is the constituency?
Challenging, but we are making progress. People are very much supportive. I have a good team on the ground, and we are doing our best.
You have the biggest constituency in the country, and I'm sure it's quite a task.
Yes, it is. It is a big challenge, but it's one that I'm up to.
Okay.
And I said, with the support that I'm getting, I'm quite confident that we will deliver to the people.
Okay. All right. The big question as we begin, and I guess on many persons' mind, what is happening with unemployment and job creation across Grenada?
Right. This is a question that will always be debated because, as you know, unemployment is a very serious concern to any government and to the people. So when we came into office, we inherited an unemployment rate of 40%. So immediately we had to go with a plan to solve the problem. Now at the end of 2014, after the labor force survey was conducted, unemployment fell to 29.5%. So where did these jobs, where these people find jobs? First of all, we started out over the last 2 years by creating opportunities for 3,000 young people in the Imani program through a job training, skills upliftment, and placement at the workplaces. Then you had an upsurge in the construction sector. So we had some big projects like the Class Code B Marina. But more importantly, we had a number of people building houses throughout Grenada. And at the constituency level throughout, you had a number of small projects where persons in the community were given contracts to build a box drain or retaining wall. And this person will take another 6 people with them on a contract to do the work. So they got employment in that area. Sometimes the criticism is, how could we see that construction is booming when there are no large hotels being built? But we are talking about the aggregated total amount. So all the houses that have been built, that is part of the construction sector. At the constituency level, all the concrete work that has been done. These are, that's part of it. So that's where we are able to provide employment. We need to do a lot more because the unemployment is still too high at 29.5%. We need to get the unemployment rate down to single digit. To do that, we'll have to attract large investors that we can employ in a factory or in a business over 1,000 people, and therefore could have a real impact, big impact on the unemployment rate. And that has been the situation with unemployment in the country.
So with that in mind, it means that the unemployment rate, although it's high, government continue to work on it to bring it down.
Yes, that's our objective.
Now, when you look at what is happening across the country, and I'll ask you two questions, and I guess you'll decide how you answer them. The first is, how would you describe the state of the economy? Is it growing? And secondly, are Grenadians better off than they were when you took office 2 years ago?
First of all, let us look at the issue of whether you're better off. And to do answer that question objectively and scientifically, you use economic indicators. So I will deal with the economic indicators, because that is what is used to determine whether the economy is growing. So when we came into office, the economy had negative growth for 3 consecutive years. Negative growth, as reported by the IMF and other financial institutions, and was well known in Grenada. So we had to take measures to correct it. In 2013, we had growth of 3.1%. In 2014, 2.6%, much higher than the IMF predicted. And for this year, we are predicting growth of 2%. The performance. So next thing you will say, so what are the sectors where you're getting the growth from? Again, I'm sticking to the economic indicators. We had growth in agriculture, tourism, and services. Tourism grew by 16.8%. Average growth in agriculture in terms of export and the supply on the local market. And when we talk about services, education services, True St. George's University was responsible for the growth in services. Tourism services and educational services were responsible for the growth there in that area. So these are the sectors that we saw, and then followed up by growth in construction sector. So that it's important to point out the sectors, because people will say, well, if you say the economy growing, where did the growth take place? And that's a fair question. That is why I'm explaining where the growth took place. So in the report from the ECCU region showed Grenada's economy performed the best in the last 2 years, in the whole of the OECS, because of what we were seeing happening. There are other indicators I wish to point to. You recall when we came into office, we met a huge debt. We came into office in February. In March, we announced that we cannot pay the debt, so we have to restructure it. Immediately, we restructured. The rating agency placed us in selective default. Well, obviously, we're not paying with debt, so we're going here, selective default. And we set about to say, ask our creditors, our bondholders and other creditors, for a 50% haircut. I am pleased to report that we received the 50% haircut, which meant debt relief in excess of $400 million EC dollars.
Wow.
The 50%, and brought down the debt to GDP ratio from 110% when we came to 90% now, debt to your GDP. So these are the indicators that we, let us look at other indicators. What is the fiscal situation? So all I'm doing here, outlining the facts, objectively, and facts that can be verified. When we look at the fiscal situation, we came into office with $18 million deficit. What that means? It means that on a monthly basis, the government was spending $18 million more than it was collecting in revenue. Simple as that. So you're collecting $35 million and spending $53 million to pay salaries, wages, debt, everything else. Now, We said, well, that is an unsustainable situation. As you know, whether it's a household or an individual, you cannot continue to spend more than you earn. Mm-hmm. So we had to take policy these measures, certain fiscal measures to correct it. So we have asked our people, given the situation, to pay a little more in taxes. So we reduced the income tax threshold from 5,000 a month to 3,000 to help meet this deficit we are talking about. We have decided not to retrench workers, keep everybody employed, and ask them to pay a little more, because 70% of all the money that we collect goes towards wages and salaries and pensions. 70%. So
way too high.
Yeah, way too high. We only have 30% to do everything else. So the simplest solution, you could say, is to reduce it, well, cut, so that you don't have this burden on you every month. But we have took the position that we're not cut. We ask people to make a little sacrifice, to pay a little more in taxes so that we can keep everyone employed. Mm-hmm. And the way we'll get the public service done is by an attrition policy. For every 10 people that leave, we'll only take on 3. And so we'll get a natural reduction in the public service. So now, from $18 million deficit, means spending more every month, we have brought it down currently to around an average of $6 million. So from 18 to $6 million, that is because we took the position to cut non-personal expenditure by 20%, and at the same time to increase revenue intake. Mm-hmm. And we have seen excellent performance in the revenue side. For example, we have seen an increase in the performance of VAT. And VAT is a transaction tax. You pay when you go, you buy. Mm-hmm. It means that if you're collecting much more in VAT, it means that the economy, business doing better. Because it's when people pay the VAT, you get the money, you collect more money. And we are seeing increase in the area of VAT, because we have not changed the rate of the VAT. So it means that we are collecting more because businesses are making more.
Doing better.
Yes, it's not because of any change in the rate. We've seen customs collecting more revenue. It could only, when we have not changed the CET or anything. So it has to be that more goods are coming in, mm-hmm. into the country. And as more goods come into the country, you collect more revenue. Mm-hmm. So all this leads to economic activities. And when people have more disposable income and they spend, businesses bring in more, and the government collect more revenue. So the increased economic activities taking place in the country, and the government is benefiting as a result of that.
Thank you so much, Minister. This is Inside Finance. We have so much information to share with you. I am Stanford Simon, and so you've been listening there to the information shared with you by the Minister, the Honorable Oliver Joseph, who is responsible for economic development within the Ministry of Finance. We take a word from our sponsors, we come back, and I continue my dialogue with the Minister, Oliver Joseph. All our listeners and supporters of the SGBC radio programs, you can now download the SGBC app on your Android phone. Go to the Play Store and get involved. Listen to some great music, great preaching, sermonette, testimonies. Great things happening at the SGBCGrenada.com, and the app is available to you. Go download it from the Play Store to your Android phone. SGBC. It is available to you, an app that you can use wherever you are. Music will be available to you wherever you are now. You do not have to wonder, where is the radio? Download it on your Android phone and carry it with you wherever you go. The SGBC app is available to you in the Play Store. Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon, and with me in the studio the Honorable Oliver Joseph. Talk to us now about the structural adjustment, because a lot of people are concerned about that, and where are we? So give us some detail in helping us to understand what is happening and what are the benefits we are gaining from the structural adjustment program the government has introduced.
Thank you. I'm pleased that you asked that, because we entered into a homegrown structural adjustment program. So we developed the program, went to the fund for support. Now, the $21.9 million that we would receive from the IMF over the three-year period, that is what we are entitled to as a member of the IMF, what you call your share, right, your quota, which you could access. We did not go for balance of payment support or to pay back the debt. If you went into a full program with the IMF like that, they would put on a lot of conditions on you. And that's why we were able to save the social programs. That's why we did not retrench, because we prepared the program and said, these are the things we will do to achieve the same thing, which is correcting the economy. And we submitted our program, and the IMF said yes, the board approved it. We got the first tranche of the money. But more importantly, and I've heard some people making the statement that, why would you go into a structural adjustment program with the IMF only for $21.9 million? But that is not the money that we'll get under the structural adjustment program. As a result, so let me give you some examples of what happened. Once the IMF board approved Grenada's homegrown structural adjustment program, the World Bank then disbursed $40 million to Grenada, the Caribbean Development Bank $27 million, the IMF $16.5 million, that's EC, all this money I'm talking about, EC. The European Union, $19.3 million as a grant. So the European Union was a grant. The total amount that we received after the first year of the program was $102.8 million, EC. When the Minister of Finance announced the structural adjustment program, he said that Grenada will receive around $100 million in support. The critics said we would not get 1 cent. At the end of the year, we got $102.8 million in the first year. And I just outlined the areas, the $40 million EC from the World Bank is a concessionary loan to be paid back in 25 years with 10 years grace period and at 0.5% interest.
Wow.
Very concessionary. And we will get more in the next year, this year. We will get more from the Caribbean Development Bank as support for our program. The European Union, which previously announced that only Haiti that is entitled to grant, because we are all middle income countries now in CARICOM, so we're not entitled to any grant, because they cannot justify going to the European Parliament and asking for money for countries like us that have higher per capita GDP than some of them. So they said no. Well, I was the chair at the meeting, the ministerial meeting, so I came back and I reported to the cabinet that we will not be getting any grant this year. That's it, it's done. When the IMF approved the program, the European Union took the decision that they must continue to support Grenada over that three-year period. And so this year, we will get grant money from the European Union.
Wow.
You see how important it is,
yeah,
for us, and what this structural adjustment program supported by the IMF has done? The EU, so when we went back to the next ministerial earlier this year, and they were reporting, the other ministers say, no, but you have a mistake here. Haiti alone that is getting grant, that is what you told us. They said, yes, but Grenada has introduced a structural adjustment program, and we need to support them, because they are taking measures and they're going in the right direction.
To correct
their situation and the economy. And therefore, because they're under a structural adjustment program, we are supporting them. And we are very, very pleased about that, that we'll get a grant, because that's grant money. And so, we got the money. So what have we done with this money? The first thing we did, he said, when we came into office, unpaid claims was $110 million. That is money government owed to suppliers of goods and services. People like yourself who did work for government and couldn't get paid. So we said, listen, these small businesses are suffering. They need the money to continue their business, to create employment for people, to expand their business. And we are the one who have the money there, we can't pay them. So what we did, we put money, we started paying out unpaid claims. And now the unpaid claims at the end of the first quarter is under $66 million. From $110 million.
That's quite a decline.
Yeah, yes, because we deliberately took the action to pay from the money I just mentioned that we receive above, the $102.8 million, to pay towards unpaid claim, and has taken a policy position to deal with all unpaid claims over 60 days. In other words, we want within 60 days we could pay. Of course, as you know, the economy is not every month you'll be able, but to manage it so that when you put more money into the hands of these small business people, they can employ people. They'll create economic activities. And that is why it is so critical that we address this issue of unpaid claims in the Treasury.
So is government saying they do not want to have the businessman saying, I do not want to do business with government because I do not know when I'll get my money?
Yeah, exactly. And businesses were saying that. Okay. When it was $110 million, you know, that's a lot of money to owe business people. So now we are saying we are dealing with the situation. We want to see more money in the hands of our local private sector because these are the people that are driving the growth. The construction company that built a road for government have to wait all this time. He has to pay it. You know, we just need to deal with it. And so as a deliberate effort, we did that. Also, we're able to put more money in the Small Business Development Fund. And the Small Business Development Fund is doing great things in Grenada. I can go, I don't know how much time we have, but
you have a bit of time, so you could go.
Okay, let me go into the small business. So we started out at $1 million, and we increased it to $2 million, taking from the same money that we get to help these small business people who cannot get money from the bank. Have you ever wondered why the bank is so liquid? They are saying that people are not coming to borrow money, so they're not making, because it's interest they make their money on. And yet they are not giving the small people loans. We as a government have to put the money there to give them loans. And what we have seen is that 285 persons have been approved and loan been disbursed to the value of $2.4 million over the last 2 years. 220 new jobs created. Businesses also expanded. So with the expansion in the business and the creation of the new jobs, you could say about 514 people got employment as a result of this small business development fund. And that is throughout the various sectors. Fishing, for example, was a major one. Fishermen could not go to the bank and get a loan to buy engine. The bank said it's too risky. We are making it available. We are seeing a number of people in the retail sector who could not stock their business are coming now, stocking the business and creating employment. In various sectors, agriculture, poultry, you've seen now shops, saloons and things being opened up because of this access to the small business loan. And that is something that we encourage because government cannot create a job. As I said, we in a situation will not increase the public service. So we want this small business loan so that people can be independent, they can be innovative, they come with the ideas and they get funding. And that is something that this government is committed to continuing as over the next 3 years to help small people get into business. And the measures that we are taking are all geared towards growth in the economy. And we are pleased with the performance of the economy to date. With a lot more work to be done, but we have asked people to make some small sacrifice, and it will pay out in the long run. Just recall that before, just to pay salaries was a problem for the previous government. They reached the stage where they had to sell assets to pay salaries because the parliament was closed down for 6 months, so they could not go for authorization. So where will the money come from if you're not collecting enough revenue? If you're not collecting enough revenue, no government will give you money to pay salaries. So you have to get money somewhere. The banks wouldn't give you overdraft because you reached the limit. The NIS would not give you more money because they do not want to hold treasury bills from you. So what they said is that we want something for the money that we're going to give you, and therefore they sold the assets to NIS to get the money to pay salaries. That is the situation we inherited, you know. It's important to remind people about where we're coming from and why we had to take all these measures. If the economy was in a better position, some of the measures we wouldn't have to take it. But we need to take these measures to correct what we made there in order to improve on the economy. So we inherited an agreement with the union, for example, which I just want to mention. You recall that we had to pay 6% increase in salary. We paid 6% increase in salary and almost $50 million in back pay to public officers, well, all government paid workers, plus pensioners. Everyone was paid a back pay of close to $50 million we had to find. Without retrenching anyone, we paid the increase. Just coming to office, you know. We had to pay. There was a commitment from the previous government, which we had to honor because we need the new government. 6% increase paid, salaries being paid on time, back pay being paid. The pensioners said they want us to remove the income tax and NIS pension, not to include it as part of the income. We did that. We removed income tax on NIS pension. The union fought with the last government to remove income tax and severance pay. They refused to do it. We did it. We went to parliament and amended the law to remove the income tax and severance to help workers. Because if you retrench, if they're your server and you're going home and you're going to take 30% of your money and you're not even sure where you're going to get your next job, we decide no, we will remove the. So we have done, in the last 2 years, taking some tough decision just to ensure that the economy is back on track, where we have debt under control, where we have growth in the economy, where we could preserve jobs, where we could bring down unemployment, and we are seeing the results. The IMF review after 1 year was high in praise for the way that we are handling the economy. And at the end, at the 3 years, we think we will meet our targets that we set and build and let the economy going forward to make Grenada a better place for all.
Mm. Mr. Minister, if you realize we're almost out of time because of what we've been discussing, and what I would want to do is just to talk to you because there are a couple of questions I want to ask. I wouldn't be able to get it in. I want to sit after the program here and talk with you a little bit so next week I can air the next program. So I want to conclude here. Is there anything you want to say?
No, just to say that Grenada is on the right track. We are taking the right measures, the economy growing, and we ask for your patience and understanding, and we appreciate the sacrifice that you are making.
Thank you so much. That was the Minister Oliver Joseph there, who is in the Ministry of Finance, and his responsibility is clearly defined within the Minister response for the economic development of Grenada. And so it was talking specifically about the economy. What I'll do, I'll leave him a little bit and then we'll sit down and talk and finish and do an interview for which I'll air next week. But I think it's interesting, you have a lot to say. And a half an hour is really not enough to have the minister come and talk. So at least I totally agree. So I would do a follow-up with him. So next week we'll continue the discussion. We have the visa for Europe. We know that has eased a little bit. I really want to know about the projects. They're talking projects. I want to hear tell me some of the projects that will be coming. This has been a program of Inside Finance. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for joining me today as we continue to share together right here on Inside Finance. For those of you who want to get the program, you can go on the Ministry of Finance website. It is there, and also at sgbcgrenada.com. And under the program heading Encounter Interview, and this program is uploaded there. You can listen it to your leisure. And I want to thank all the stations that carry this program, and so I want to thank you so much for the opportunity.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.